The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
Every team, every topic, everywhere, this is Believe.
On today's Believe in Chicago Sports podcast, we break down the MLB trade deadline and the Cubs and Sox moves that weren't. The White Sox don't make many moves to make themselves a pennant contender, and the Cubs don't do the sell-off we all expected them to do. All that and more on today's episode of Believe in Chicago Sports.
Welcome in to the Believe in Chicago Sports podcast with myself, Dan Collins, and my fine, lovely co-host, Joey Gellman, who's on the other side of the Zoom. Once again, almost 3 weeks, three shows and going strong with the Zoom. Once again, he's Joey Gellman. You can find him on Twitter at Joey Gellman, myself on the tweet machine as well at Tweet Dan Collins. If you're tuning in today, a bigger thank you, I think, than usual, because you would have read the little tease. You would have listened to the tease by now. And you know exactly what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about a Chicago baseball trade deadline that basically gave us nothing. So that's the headline, folks. That's the breakdown, folks. Talking about a whole bunch of nothing that happened. Obviously, we'll dive into it a lot more than that.
What are we, Seinfeld? A show about nothing? Is that what we are today?
It's a show about nothing. Well, it's actually, Joey, going to be the show about frustration. Well, at least on my end. On your end, it might be more puzzling in the sense of what the Cubs did. We'll obviously get there. We'll cross that bridge when we do get there. But the White Sox, the day before the trade deadline, pick up a southpaw reliever, Jake Dykeman, and that was all about it. So we sit here today with the White Sox as we record this show. I believe it's two games above 500 because they won today. So yoo-hoo, yeah, against the Kansas City Royals. But Joey, like I look at this, and probably the most upsetting thing about not going out there, and didn't necessarily have to make a splash, but you could have done something. And I guess maybe if you want to, you know, count Dykeman as something, which no, we're talking about like on deadline day, who's the big name you're going to bring in, or who's somewhat of a quality bat or arm you're going to bring in to like keep trying to improve this team. And I'm going to rewind it all the way back to last year where I was in big time disappointment mode, which was at the end of the postseason when they lost the series to the Astros. We thought going into that series as Sox fans that, hey, let's see what happens here now. We're back in the playoffs. We could beat this Astros team. Like, let's see how far we get now. We're finally back in the postseason. How far are we going to get? And then, boy, we found out rather quickly during that series. And by the time it was over, we talked about it here on this very show that, wow, the Sox, they probably weren't really as good as we thought they were, right? Like, I don't know if they're necessarily championship contenders. They're going to have to make some better moves in the offseason, and then during next season, still see exactly where they can improve and go from there. And where I'm coming at here now is, I think we're worse. As a matter of fact, I know we're worse. If you're just looking straight up on paper, the numbers don't lie. Was it 53 and 51 or they're at right now? Is they are not as good as a team as they were last year, and we came to this consensus that that's not a good enough team to get it over the hump. So if you're not improving from last year, and other teams are, right, like other teams are accelerating and doing more during their championship windows, and the White Sox aren't.
Yeah, the San Diego White Sox.
Exactly. Oh, Fernando Tatis for James Shields. Maybe we could have traded. We really couldn't have given up like a Lance Lynn for a Fernando Tatis swap or something like that. Of Johnny Cueto, for Fernando Tatis swap. The San Diego was wheeling and dealing, but that's the thing that sucks the most about this, right? Like it's a little bit more of like a macro picture, but if you want to contend in your championship window, you have to keep getting better. Also in that window is what I feel, and we're not. If anything, like I said, we're getting worse, and not necessarily getting worse in terms of like the like players that we're getting let go, but because there's players that are not right, like performing to their abilities, right? They're underachieving, if you will. Yasmani Grandal being one of them, Yoan Moncada being another, in terms of like you would have expected way better, not to even mention injuries that have come across the board this year. Garrett Crochet not even making it out of the gate. Luis Robert, like what's going on there is something like, you know, what he's been dealing with, which I believe they were trying to, don't quote me here, like blaming on like a vitamin deficiency or something like that, or like a bug. Basically, like, it's not a big deal. It's going to pass and he will eventually be well. Let's hope that's the case. But you also have players like Eloy Jimenez, who you like didn't have for a good part of this year because, like, once again, like, seems to, I don't want to throw the word injury prone out there, but injuries do happen, right? We noticed that this year. So injuries happen. Certain players not playing up to their expected abilities. That should have almost accelerated, right? Like, things to do, like, at the trade deadline. Or I guess you could look at it as, like, is this almost like a mini wave of the white flag where it's like, wow, not only are we worse than where we are, than we were at this time last year, but, like, yeah, there are players on this team that are also not meeting their expectations, along with the injury bug, along with a slow start out the gate because of the weather. Remember that one, that we're so far behind right now. There's really nothing we can do to get us back to where we potentially were and then over that hump. So we're just going to have to wave the white flag here and take it into next year, which, even if that is the case, once again, super disheartening, because now how do you get better in the off season? And like, how are we going to keep getting better as a team during this window, when, like I said, the other teams are rolling. San Diego Padres, like you said, they're wheeling and dealing. They're trying to get it going. Just stick here, even in the National League, Yankees, 70 plus win team, Astros not holding back, Minnesota Twins in your division, who you're behind, getting better at the trade deadline, and you're chasing them by a few games when it's all said and done. So I don't know. That's, to me, like, the kind of big picture here, and why it hurts the most, and, you know, why it sucks the most, I should say, and, like, why you're frustrated as a White Sox fan, because it's not only like we didn't get anything, but it's also like, wow, like, we really did need that something, because where we're at now, it's not going to cut it. How do I know that? Because we saw it last year. Now, if you want to go into the playoffs and say, oh, we'll roll the dice and maybe we get, you know, four great starts after four great starts, series after series, and we win the whole thing, sure, whatever. But that's a pipe dream.
Right, and that's the problem, is it's this is supposed to be that championship year, right? This is supposed to be your Cubs 2016 year where you go all out. And they just aren't. And I think you're right. I think it's that twofold thing. I think, one, it's, you know, unacceptable that they didn't get a deal done that can better them, and that they're not in a better position to compete for a pennant. You know, and when Rick Hahn comes out and says, we're disappointed we weren't able to do more to improve the club, like, but you're in charge of improving the club. So I, like, it's just like you can't, you're calling yourself out. It just was very weird. That they weren't able to get those deals done. But I wonder if, you know, sadly, it's more of what you're saying, is where they're at right now. Sure, could they make a playoff run in the next 2 months? Yeah, but they're not built right now to contend for a World Series when you got the Yankees and the Padres and the Dodgers, you know, all these teams kind of in your way, that it's almost like, yeah, let's wave the white flag for this year, like you said, not give up on it, but it's not worth sacrificing everything we have to go for it in a year when you're most likely not going to either potentially make the playoffs, let alone a wild card, or let alone a long run. And so it's a weird admission of kind of status quo of where you're at right now, and coming to realize that this isn't the year anybody wanted. And I know the fans are pissed, but now at this time, right, the front office is kind of like, okay, like, we kind of sadly see it too, and it needs a full evaluation going into next year, because why mortgage everything now in a season that's not going to benefit you? And it's really disheartening. And I'm not even a White Sox fan, but it's supposed to be that year, and it's not. And you never know when you're going to get it, right? The Cubs had a lot of good playoff runs, but they got one, and they are further away than hell from getting back, right? So it's every season's sacred mantra that Theo used to have. I don't know when the Sox portion is going to be back to that. So we're going to have to see, but It's a microcosm of everything we've seen this year, boiling down to we couldn't get anything done at the deadline, and did we want to get anything done at the deadline? That's where you stand.
Yeah, and I think, like, at the very least, though, is there's clearly a few positions where you could have totally improved. A lot of people were thinking they were going to bring in a righty arm as well in the bullpen to go along with Dykeman. Somebody thought, hey, maybe at least a pair of arms for the bullpen. But not only that, I mean, second base, right? Like, unless you want to roll with Josh Harrison and Larry Legend all year, in the outfield where every now and then we're, you know, Eloy's out for part of the year. Robert now hopefully making a return, but you need to add a little bit more depth there. The only thing we've added really since last season was AJ Pollock, and that's not necessarily, you know, the hottest name around town in terms of like what his performance has been since joining the team. So that's where you've upgraded and added depth since last season. In the outfield is AJ Pollock, and in the infield with Josh Harrison, which not necessarily, I don't think, names that are going to get you over the championship hump. And then you look into, you know, pitching acquisitions. Graveman, arguably, obviously, the best acquisition you've made since last season. You know, Joe Kelly now with the bicep injury, or the arm injury, I guess I should say, to be maybe a tad more accurate. You don't know what you have there now, and if something like that's going to keep acting up. And heck, even in the rotation, the best thing they've done so far was nice shot in the pan with Johnny Cueto, right? Like, so, and he's outperforming guys like Lance Lynn and Lucas Giolito at this point, which is a little ridiculous, and that goes to show you why we're at where we're at. And let's just also call out one of the biggest factors here, like one of the biggest, you know, stories that are tied into it is, I'm not saying with Tony La Russa, and a lot of people obviously want a new manager, and we've talked plenty of that on the show as well, but now with the shortcomings here at the deadline, is Tony La Russa like a potential scapegoat now for the front office? Like, it's like super weird. It's like, where do you,
he might be asleep, so you may never know.
Well, there you go. I mean, I might have to set the alarm clock and wake him up in the first, well, what inning is it? The first inning? If it's not the first inning, maybe not. But no, I mean, that's it's weird. It's like, how it's going to be really interesting to evaluate this team at the end of the season. Is it going to be after a nice long postseason run? I sure as heck hope so. Is it shaping out to be that way? Not necessarily. A couple big wins here against the Royals, and I know their schedule the rest of the way is pretty favorable, but I mean, they're just not even as good as they were last year, both with additions, current performance, you name it. So are they going to at least, it's going to start having players perform to like they're more towards their capabilities, like a Lucas Giolito, like a Lance Lynn, for the remainder of the season? Are they going to stay healthy in the bullpen with someone like a Joe Kelly? And are they going to get like a little bit more performance, like I said, out of even some of their hitters that have been underperforming, like a Yasmani Grandal and a Yoan Moncada? Like, are we going to get all that? That's a lot of like,
right. Hits. And you're not supposed to be building anymore. You're supposed to be built, right, and then adding. This still feels like you're still trying to build this to make the complete picture, but you're already a year too late.
Yeah, and there's still quite, like I said, there's literally question marks everywhere. There is a question marks in the rotation. There are question marks in the bullpen. There are question marks in the lineup. Like, it's not only like, all right, we have a little bit of a underperforming issue with the bullpen, but you know, the bats are there, the defense is there, the starting pitching's there. Like, we wish we could have added maybe more bullpen arms, or we're not, and you know, we're down a few to injuries. Okay, maybe then, you know, you can live with that. But no, there's underperforming players in each part of the depth chart there. Like you said, that's not where we're supposed to be. At the very least, like you mentioned, this was supposed to be like the 2016 Cubs year. At the very, very least, couldn't have been like a 2015, 2014 year, where remind me, like NLCS, right? Getting beat in the NLCS to the Dodgers one of those years or whatnot. Like, mm-hmm. It should at the very least be a long, prospering postseason run type of year, right? You don't necessarily, you know, would have had to be the team to win it all this year, but to at least kind of get close and give yourself a realistic chance. And who knows, maybe they can. But even if you do, you're going to do it with, at the very least, a subpar regular season. And I'm not going to go on ahead and bet the ranch that even if they do squeak into the playoffs, it's going to be a long run. So, I mean, if you're evaluating the season as a whole, where we're at to this point, and even when it's all done, you know, when you look at the first few parts of the season, it's going to be big question marks no matter what, unless with that slight percentage chance they do win it all. Boy, wouldn't that be something?
They'll be your Braves, your 2023-22 Braves.
You see, but the Atlanta Braves, remind me, Joey, did they do something at last year's deadline before
just a couple things?
Maybe like adding a whole new outfield or something of the like. So, see, a lot of people bring that up too. It's like, oh, well, you could still maybe be like the, you know, the Atlanta Braves of last year. Well, the thing is, they did something at the trade deadline, brought in quite a few big names. Maybe that's it. That might have helped. I don't know. Question mark. But the White Sox weren't the only team who didn't do anything in this town come the trade deadline, because apparently to the White Sox, the sellers weren't selling. And to the Cubs, the buyers weren't buying. So you still have Contreras. You still have Happ. Obviously, the biggest question mark of it all is Contreras. Joey, you as a Cub fan, I really am wondering here. Puzzled? Aggravated? I don't know what the right word would be for how you feel as a Cub fan about something like that. Only because if you end up doing the whole qualifying offer thing and getting a compensatory pick, which is maybe, like I was going to say, that seems like what's going to be the case. But we said the case was going to be that he was going to get traded, and that didn't even happen. But you're looking at somewhere, was it around high 60s, 67, high 60s to 80, right, of a draft pick you're looking at if you do get the compensatory pick. So if that's how it shapes out, or who knows, maybe they offer him a deal. So everybody's saying like that's not going to be the case, but you know, we were all predicting that what the case was going to be was he was going to be traded. That didn't happen. So yeah, I'm just curious as the Cub fan here on the show, what you feel about that?
Joey's word is confused. Because we've been had to mentally prepare for the last 2 weeks for this to be like, okay, great, here we go again. Wilson Contreras, World Series champion, gone. Ian Happ, cornerstone of this current team, gone. And then you have to start all over again. And now we sit here, and the two of them are still here. I know they made a couple of minor moves, but they're still here. They're ecstatic to still be here. And then you're left with, well, I'm happy to see that they're happy and that we're able to still see them in Cubby Blue, but I'm also like, well, why couldn't they get anything for, like, why couldn't you get anything for them?
Happy
and
Happ.
Should they have? And, like, I know Happ is easier to build around than Contreras because of age and position, but now you're kind of like, okay, well, what does that mean? Are they going to extend Contreras? Are they just going to let him walk? Are they going to try to trade him again? Is this whole thing going to happen next July? And where do these guys fit in the bigger plans? Are they closer to competing than we think if they kept these guys? Or are they still in their sell-off? Like, it leaves too many unanswered questions. And you're still here going, okay, well, they sold off last year. They flirted with selling off again this year. Didn't, except for their whole bullpen. They're still going to be bad, but you still paid Marcus Stroman and Seiya Suzuki on a team that's going to finish, you know, probably close to last, right? So it's like, where are they? Are they closer to building in the rebuild, or are they still tearing it down? And as happy as I am to see those guys stay, it just makes me confused in the trajectory because they're not being transparent. We talked about it last week. They're not as transparent as they were the first time doing this, and it just leaves you in a very confused state.
Or, you know what's funny? Are they? Are they being ultra transparent? Because, as I said, it's not necessarily a rebuild. They're not built. They're not, you know, bandaging the thing either. So that's kind of where you're at now. Like, okay, Contreras and Happ are still here. Are you going to end up signing Contreras? Are you going to end up also eventually keeping Happ? Are you not? And it's more or less jokingly I say this. Like, obviously, no, there are parts of where they're not being super transparent. But I don't even know if it's a problem of more or less a problem of transparency, or which I find this a little hard to believe because I think there's enough smart people in that front office. Is it almost like how we were talking about the White Sox just a moment ago, where you really don't even necessarily have this full-out plan, right? Like, you get to the trade deadline,
right?
Maybe, like, obviously, like, they were shopping them. That part is, you know, obviously true, but just like the White Sox, where you were shopping around, but you didn't get exactly what the value you wanted. Same thing as the Cubs. They apparently didn't get the value they wanted. So you just sit and hold because you're not fully all in on a rebuild, because you don't really honestly have that plan, which is when you don't, you come up with stuff in interviews and whatnot of like, well, it's not a complete this, because maybe in their head it's really not. Like, maybe it isn't a complete rebuild, but it can be. And come this trade deadline, it really wasn't. Like, there's almost some truth to what they were saying now, funny enough, but I think that's still kind of a frustrating part because, like I said, there should be enough smart people in that building, and I believe there are, that you could come up with a plan and then be transparent about that. You've had long enough to see what you have here with this team. It's going to be, what, a 60-something win team. You should have been able to figure out just exactly what the plan is to then be aggressive enough of a shopper and for the White Sox of a buyer come the trade deadline. So I think one of the funniest possible scenarios could be like after all that, you know, emotional distress or whatnot, somebody like a Contreras does get signed, right? Like long term and just stay a Cub for a while because like, oh, look, you just never know. Like just when you thought maybe you were out the door, not so much. But, you know, it's weird. You know, we joke around where the Sox weren't necessarily finding the right sellers or like it wasn't really necessarily enough people selling, and like Cubs will say the opposite. It's like, you know, one of the places where the White Sox could have upgraded is the outfield. And I know like a lot of like there's a lot of fan theories going around as well. Mock trades of like, oh, Hap to the White Sox, can that work? At the very least, you couldn't figure that out. I would have loved Hap on the south side. It definitely would have been an improvement from what they have currently. At the end of the day, like the Cubs who are trying to shop around and maybe trying to shop Hap around, like Cubs and Sox couldn't have come up to nothing there. Like, I don't know. So it's interesting, unless it's potentially in their plans to keep both players. Who really knows at this point?
Yeah, and the DH helps with Contreras for sure. I mean, that changes the whole ball game for future. But yeah, they're just, I don't know. It's like they stayed. I'm happy because I don't like the good players getting spurned. But I'm also like, it's still not going to be appointment television where I go, oh my God, they're still here. I got to go watch a Cub game. Like if it's on, I'll watch it. If I'm going, I'll go. But it's still, we're still in the same place we were a couple of days ago with less pitching. So you look at it and go, okay, it's still all eyes next year.
Well, I think we have time. Like, there's this time frame now to critique this no action at the trade deadline for the Cubs, because if come next year, you know, it's the qualifying offer, and then after next season, you know, Contreras hits free agency and then goes off to a different team. Then when if he were to finally sign with a different team after next season, then that's when like this, you could be more critical about this. Cause like, what the heck? We really, all we got was a compensatory pick and that's it. Like you couldn't have got that during the 2022 trade deadline, like something of equal or better value at the time. And just have not, you know, played all this silly business with an extra year and a qualifying offer. So that's when I think we could be more critical if that scenario works itself out, which a lot of people are predicting or thinking that it will work out that way. But you know, if the Cubs front office does better things up until then, to where it's just like kind of an afterthought, all right, yeah, that was silly. Don't know really what they were doing here, but they've done X, Y, and Z much better since then to now still have me have some faith in them, you know, that's it. But yeah, you can't almost be too critical about it now because like it's still technically a question mark which direction they're going to go in.
Right, they're damned if they do or they're damned if they don't. Like they traded them, like, oh my God, we're pissed, but also we understand the future. Or it's, oh my God, we didn't trade them, what's our future? Like it's just very, very odd to be a Cub fan these days. It's fun.
Well, the thing is here, too, and I think with the Contreras one, who's eventually he's going to be on the, if you sign him eventually to a long-term deal, he's going to be, you know, those years are going to be going into his, what, mid-30s by that time. He's 30 right now. The interesting thing, too, with Contreras, though, is was there really nobody out there who would have gave you a nice package for Wilson Contreras? That part I almost find the most thing that's hard to believe. I know the New York Mets were one of the teams that were thrown out there. So it's actually kind of funny. If you're a New York Mets fan, are you almost, you know, ticked off that you didn't get a name that was rumored in a Wilson Contreras? Like, are you almost more pissed off as a Mets fan than the Cubs are here in their town? Because, like, yeah, we really wanted, you know, somebody like a Wilson Contreras. Like, add that bat, stay in the National League. DH, like you said, is going to make it to where that's, you know, favorable, no matter, you know, which league he goes to or stays in. So there's that there too, which somebody like Wilson Contreras and the value you would have thought he had, you couldn't even if you thought the value was up here, right? Like at the end of the day, you wouldn't have settled for a notch or so below, even if, you know, you felt like you got a little lowballed. Like for him to not be moved in the situation the Cubs are now, to me, it would have almost had to be like, teams were offering you nothing but like fleece offers where it's like, oh man, no, you're fleecing us. It's just like something that's completely undervalued, because something like Wilson Contreras, especially once again, going with an example of the New York Mets, how you couldn't get anything of like close to what the value is that they would have thought for Wilson Contreras is a little bit of a head scratcher to me. Like I just, that's also another part that I find hard to believe, is that you really couldn't find a team out there that would give you enough value for somebody like a Wilson Contreras. Plot twist, they use it against him in future negotiations where, hey, look, at the league even thinks your value this as of 2022 trade deadline. I could tell you we didn't
not
deal
a bad
you
because, idea.
Because you know this is the value that the league was giving us, so you might just want to sign here long term and take, you know, this nice fancy deal with us because this is where your value was at come the trade deadline. No, that's probably definitely not what the case is, but it's a nice little fun plot twist theory.
Yeah, and it could hurt him. I mean, you know, if he wasn't valued, I mean, it depends what the Cubs asked. They may have asked for the world, but, you know, if he wasn't valued enough to get traded this time around, it's interesting for his value when he becomes, if and when he becomes a free agent.
Well, I mean, what's also really weird about that is what happens, like, say, like, there's a qualifying offer, obviously, which is all but assumed. Like, is he going to have, like, another emotional somewhat send-off by the fans at the end of next season? And then, oh, actually, the Cubs signed him. He actually comes back, and there was no need for an emotional send-off the second time. He's coming back, and he's here to stay. But, no, I mean, if the Cubs have Wilson Contreras for just one more year, and he goes through that weird roller coaster again, and then goes and signs with a different team, which it'd be good for him. He'd probably make, you know, some pretty good cash, and he'll be fine at the end of the day, obviously. But it would be weird to do that to somebody like Wilson Contreras again, which obviously that's once again the nature of the beast, nature of the business. But that would just be another interesting and weird, if it plays out that way, you know, storyline there that is just kind of just weird. Just that simple. Just weird if, like, you know, he has another emotional send off ever. Same thing with an Ian Happ. Who knows?
No, absolutely. Yeah, we'll see. It's not a fun emotional roller coaster for sure, for them especially, and for Cub fans. But it's sadly the nature of the beast right now. Can you imagine if you just got traded from your job to job? Like, I kind of forget about that. We're like, we think about it from a sports lens, like when people get drafted or traded, like they're not like video games. Like this would be like, Dan, we got to inform you we're trading you to Minnesota for the rights to the new intern at the other company. Good luck. Okay. I guess I gotta go.
You know, and I get exactly where that would suck, especially with like a family and, you know, schools and relocating and things like that. If I got paid millions of dollars to do even what I do now, and I had to go ship myself off to, you know, Minnesota or San Diego or Kansas City for, you know, a few months, like 3 more months of the year, then I could go back to my permanent residence and have an off season. I think I'll be okay with that. But no, I still do see, because I mean, think about it. A lot of these players now, like in the cities that they play, that's not necessarily where their permanent residence is in the off season. So, you know, but I get it. I get where, like, yeah, that could be a little confused, or just not knowing what organization slash, you know, company, you know, in our case, like you would be working for the very next day. And, you know, just like that, you could be thrown right out. So no, that would be a little weird. Now, you know, if you think about it that way, but comes with the territory, does it not?
I guess so.
And to wrap it up, Joey, I would say, which one is the bigger? And we talked about this a little bit of the pre-show. Not which one has like the bigger implications to it, but which one is the bigger head scratcher? Is it a bigger head scratcher that the White Sox and go out and do more right during this championship window, or is it that also didn't do a lot? Because as much as you could look at it as this is the White Sox window to win a championship, you could look at it as of now also on the cup where like we could sell off a Contreras, we should sell off a Contreras and get a big you know, return form, because we're obviously a pretty crap team now. So like we need to do this whole rebuilding over again. And then as we talked about last show, hopefully just sustain that for the foreseeable future. So I don't know which one is honestly like the bigger head scratcher at the end of the day. The White Sox might be the more disappointing one, but which one's the bigger head scratcher?
I honestly think it's the White Sox, because the Cubs one's just weird and confusing. The White Sox to me is the bad one and head scratcher, because it's either unacceptable, they didn't make a move because they needed to compete, and then Or it's an admission of we're not good enough to compete, which is also unacceptable. So let's not make a move. It's just it's an admission of failure this season for the White Sox in what was supposed to be a special year versus the Cubs. Like, it's confusing, but you weren't expecting anything from them this year anyways. It doesn't have as big of implications, potentially, I think, as the White Sox inaction does.
Yeah. No, I guess I could see that, too. And there's just so much other stuff that comes with the White Sox, because I think it also just keeps piling on to what's been so far, obviously, a disappointing year. Well, the Cubs, disappointing in the sense of where they're at in the standings, but more that was what was more assumed, obviously, coming in, where the White Sox are way below their expectations. And then, as we mentioned earlier, and now you're coming here into the trade deadline, it's like, oh, we're really not doing too much. We'll add to the bullpen with a veteran southpaw, and there we go. So, yeah, I guess definitely the White Sox is the whole year has been a head scratcher, though. Like, not even that's probably why it is the White Sox. Is everything about this year has been a head scratcher from start to finish. How it's going to wrap up? Well, I think we're already under the 60 game mark. You know, we got 2 months left of baseball, and then we're heading on over to the postseason, hopefully, to see what's going to happen. So, White Sox, enough of the head scratchers. Let's just get it together, get it in gear, and get to the postseason and see what happens. And I'm going to try to end the show optimistic, which we
good. Don't you do. Should
in optimistic spirits, but. Oh boy, you know, we'll remember if this window, you know, from start to finish doesn't work out and the White Sox don't bring in a championship within, you know, the next 3 to 5+ years, then this will be one of the moments that are looked at even more critically. You know, you're going to look at it with a more critical mindset and lens, this trade deadline. If after this window, we're not raising championship banners.
No, absolutely. So, can't wait for that discussion, I believe, in Chicago sports in 2028. Maybe we'll still be doing it. Maybe I'll be bald. We'll see what happens. But on that note, because you can't wait too long for that, we're going to end this show right now. Thank you so much for listening to Believe in Chicago Sports. As always, we're on Twitter at Believe in Chicago. We are part of the Believe Podcast Network, the number one podcast network for professionals. I'm on Twitter at Joey Gelman. He's on Twitter at Tweet Dan Collins. We thank you so much for listening. Hopefully we'll have some fun stuff to talk about. Well, it was a fun stuff, but hopefully always more positive things next week. If you can believe it, it's our first Bears game week next week. First preseason game, August 13th. Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs versus Justin Fields and the Bears, which is more like Nathan Peterman and the Bears versus the Chiefs' fourth-string quarterback. You know, that's starting up soon, so we'll get you ready for all things football and everything else that comes our way next week in the world of Chicago sports. Until next time, he's Dan, I'm Joey. We'll talk to you soon.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.